And the Israeli military says Hamas has begun releasing 12 hostages. Israeli government spokesman Ilan Levy on the negotiation to extend the truce.
In as much as there is a serious offer on the table to release the remaining hostages as we are demanding, we will of course consider every serious proposal because we're committed to doing everything to bring them back.
Among the group of hostages expected to be freed today, one American. That's in exchange for Palestinian prisoners. Israeli President Isaac Herzog says they're getting more humanitarian in to Gaza.
Israel is committed to increasing and sustaining the supply of humanitarian aid to the citizens of Gaza, those who are uninvolved in battle and in war and in terror.
The pause in fighting has allowed organizations to increase their deliveries. Still uncertain what caused the crash of a U.S. military Osprey off the coast of southern Japan.
Japan's Coast Guard told CBS News that one American crewman has died following the crash of a U.S. military Osprey off the island of Yakushima, southwest of Tokyo. The Coast Guard has sent two helicopters and six vessels to continue searching through the night for the other crew members who were aboard the aircraft. Lucy Kraft, CBS News, Tokyo.
Well, the House is expected to vote tomorrow to expel Congressman George Santos. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson.
We're going to allow people to vote their conscience. I think it's the only appropriate thing we can do. I trust that people will make that decision thoughtfully and in good faith.
If the vote is yes, he would be just the sixth member in U.S. history to get ousted. Rosalynn Carter was celebrated by her family and closest friends at her funeral in Plains, Georgia today. Her grandson, Josh.
My grandparents built the Carter Center, and she spent the rest of her life improving the lives of people across the globe to free them from oppression, eliminate crippling diseases, and to help people with mental illness live healthy, fulfilling lives.
99-year-old former President Jimmy Carter also attended the service. And ladies, here's yet another reason to get off your butt and move it.
I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. Yeah, I like to move it.
New research found women who spend more than 6 hours a day sitting double their risk of uterine fibroids. Health experts think it could be because that lifestyle is linked to obesity. Whatever the reason, study after study finds not moving enough has serious impacts on our health. On Wall Street today, markets are in the green. The Dow is up 128 points, NASDAQ up 20. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The second annual printing of A Season of Gifting coloring books are available in the area. This year, Quality Plus Printing produced twice the amount, with 2,000 coloring books being distributed to local nonprofit organizations and agencies that help care for children in our area. They're thankful to local sponsors for supporting this initiative. Due to the generosity of the sponsors, a check for $5,000 will go to United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties to help local nonprofits during the holiday season. The Adams County Sheriff's Office will host a snowmobile safety course starting next week. The DNR's snowmobile safety course begins on Monday, December 4th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Adams County Community Center. The second day of the course will be Saturday, December 9th, from 9 to noon. Refreshments and lunch will be served by the Adams County Snowmobile Association. You can register at gowild.wi.gov. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 24 tonight, under mainly clear skies, southwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy, tomorrow, 37. Tomorrow night, lows around 18. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this November 29th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today at 3:30, we're going to welcome in Superintendent of Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, Craig Bourne. Also going to have our Nikki, the principal at Grant Elementary, with Craig. That's going to be a fun conversation. Right now, one of our favorite people to talk to, Casey Nemeth. Did I get that?
You did.
I did. Casey Nemeth, BSW, CSW, Caregiving Support Coordinator with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Casey, good to see you.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always great to be here.
I always appreciate the time, and a big thank you to you and our friends over at the ADRC, all the great stuff that you do in this community. We greatly appreciate you, Casey. I thought we could get into a couple of things with the ADRC, if you don't mind. And I'd like to start what the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin does and who they serve.
Yeah, so the Aging and Disability Resource Center, or the ADRC for short, what we can do is help provide information and resources to individuals and their families. We help promote choice and independence, and we do that through our education, advocacy, and access to services that can help you delay and lessen the impacts of aging and disabilities in your life.
Casey, oftentimes you guys are the main people there for this age group, especially when it comes to questions that you just don't know. There's certain things that you do kind of get a handbook about, you know, Social Security and that kind of thing. But then there's other stuff where, hey, you turn 65, good luck. You know, there's no playbook for it, everything. The ADRC is a vital playbook for many of our seniors.
Correct. Yeah, it's a great place to start, you know, whether you have a more complex question or you have just a simple question that you can't seem, you know, to find the answer for. You can come and ask any of the staff that we have. We have specialized staff that specialize in each,
specialize in a lot of things. It's hard. It's understandable.
Right. Yeah. Yes. You can come in and we can help you get the answer that you're looking for.
Yeah. Casey, one thing that the ADRC actually helped me with, and I am not of that age range yet, but one of the early conversations I had during Midday Magazine with ADRC, and it came up about caregiving and the great work that you guys do for caregivers and helping caregivers. And we were talking about how so many people don't even realize they're caregivers. And I got done with the interview, and then later that night I'm re-listening to it, trying to get better and listen to my interviews and stuff. I hate my voice like everybody, but that's how you get better at this gig. And I'm listening to it, and it's dawning on me, wait a minute, I'm a caregiver. I take care of my mom and dad. I never even thought about it as that one. It's something that I think a lot of people out there are in that situation where they don't realize that they are a caregiver. So it's so important to have a group, an organization like the ADRC there to help with this topic. What is a caregiver? Maybe I think this is a good thing to get into this. What is a caregiver, and how can the ADRCCW support them?
Yeah, I think you bring up a great point. A lot of times people don't even realize that they are a caregiver. They might be doing something that they think is, you know, an easy task maybe a neighbor, a friend, a loved one throughout the day. But the impact that that has on that person can be huge. And so a caregiver is anyone that is able to provide any type of support for someone. And that might be small, maybe raking leaves in the fall or shoveling snow in the winter, or that can be something as, big as, you know, hands-on care, maybe helping, with that shower because you're not feeling safe. So, you know, it can go to very different levels, but just the work that that caregiver does is so important to that care recipient.
There's, I forget the percentage, so I'm not going to throw one number out there and get it wrong, but there is an overwhelming amount of people that are in the caregiving industry as a job. There are almost as many people who are caregivers who are doing this for loved ones. And when it comes to that, especially in the Midwest here, because we got a Midwest mentality, we don't ask for help, we just do things and we can handle everything on our own and all that.
Right.
I'm not a caregiver. I'm just helping my mom and dad. I'm just helping take care of my mom and dad. That's what you do. You help family. But it's important to understand the definition of this, to understand that you are a caregiver, in part because you can't pour from an empty cup. You can't take care of somebody else if your backyard isn't taken care of. I bring this up all the time, the example of on a plane. You have to put your mask on first before you put it on your kid. Every parental instinct tells you to put it on your kid first.
Right.
But you can't. Otherwise, you're both going to pass out.
Right.
It's really important to understand that about caregiving.
Right. Yes. And you know, I think you bring up a great point that, you know, we just want to help people. We want to help family members. We want to help neighbors. And that is really wonderful. And we recognize the work that the caregivers do, but it's also really important to take care of yourself if you are a caregiver. Because like you said, if you can't take care of yourself first, how are you going to be there to provide that support for a caregiver? And that's where you can turn to looking at, you know, maybe some hired help that can come into the home and things like that, that can provide the break that you might need to prolong that caregiving journey that you have with your care recipient.
And worthy noting that November is National Caregiver Month.
Right. So there's only obviously a few days left in November, but it's really important to remember that National Family Caregivers Month has been designated as the month of November to just help celebrate the work that you do as a caregiver. But most importantly, to remember that it's so important and great the work that you do all year long for your care recipient, and just making sure that you are taking time for yourself and taking the time that you need to be able to provide that support to your care recipient.
And if you are, say your significant other is a caregiver for family or something, or you're kind of like on the outside looking in a little bit of the caregiving situation that you're close to, you can be supportive of those people too. Your job is important as well, being a support system for the caregiver. That goes a long way as well.
Right. Yeah. Caregiving can be very stressful. It can be very emotional. It can be physically draining. So, you know, if your loved one is being a caregiver, just being that soundboard, just being someone that they can talk to, you know, maybe someone that they need to vent to. Maybe it wasn't a great day, or they felt that maybe they didn't do something that was, you know, that they didn't want to do, or have a tough conversation that they didn't want to have. If you can just be someone there that can be, you know, someone to listen to be able to talk through what just went on, that is really important too.
Isn't it interesting, Casey, that oftentimes the greatest thing we can do for somebody, the greatest thing we can do for a loved one is just listen.
Right.
That's all we got to do. We just got to open our ears. That's it. No heavy lifting, no figuring out some complex math problem. We just got to listen.
Right. Yep. I think that's such an easy concept, but it's really, sometimes it's really hard to do. And yeah, all you have to do is listen. Sometimes you don't even have to open up your mouth.
Yeah. Where can I get more information on this subject if I'm out there listening and I want to find out more?
Yeah, so the ADRC does have a website. We are at www.adrc-cw.org, and we just have a really great website that lays out information really nicely. But you can also give us a call. Our phone number is 1-888-486-9545, and the staff that answers are able to help you get to the person that you need to talk to or the information that you need. So either of those are great resources. We do also have a monthly newsletter called Choices that you might see out in the community. We also have copies right at our office, our local offices, and that just has a wealth of information and knowledge that you can read monthly. It has great articles in it.
Yeah, I encourage people to sign up for as many newsletters as you can. There's always great information in those, and the ADRC's is a great one. Is there another website we can send people to as well for like a 24/7 support or anything?
Sure. So there's, you know, many different websites that you can turn to. One that we find really helpful is the Alzheimer's Association, which helps for people that are looking for specific information on dementia. So that, you know, is a huge thing that continues to come into the elderly that we're seeing. So just visiting that website at www.alz.org has great information specifically for a Wisconsin chapter that they have that has support groups, local resources. They also have a 24/7 support line. So specifically, if you are, you know, have someone that you're caring for that has a form of dementia, that's a great website to check out.
Yeah, I know I've gone to it myself a number of times, and it has a lot of great things on there. And one of the great things is the support that they offer there. And again, going back to the listening thing that they can do and such, it's a great resource for you. And you can find out the information of any of those by reaching out to the ADRC. They'll get you the websites or phone numbers, any kind of thing you might need there. And you can also go to the ADRC to find out more about support groups. We touched on this a couple of times, Casey. This is one of the more vital things things for not just caregivers, but really most of the clientele of the ADRC, having a support system, having a group of people, letting them know they're not alone, that they're not in this by themselves. It goes so far. So many of our seniors out there don't have family in town, or don't have lost family, or lost a significant other. It's on us as the other generations to be there for them.
Correct. Yeah, we have really great support groups, and you know, the people that attend just are so thankful that they can talk to someone that might be in similar situations. You can toss ideas about that, you know, hey, this worked well for me, or this didn't work well for me. So support groups are huge, like you said, just having someone listen. So the ADRC saw that need, decided to start a support group for caregivers that are caring for anyone. And so that support group meets the fourth Monday of each month from 10:30 to noon. So if that is something that you are interested in signing up for, you can contact our main number, or you can reach out to any of the staff and they can get you some more information on that. It's also on our website, so you can check out a little bit more about when that is and what that looks like as well.
Mm-hmm. And these different support groups, there's other support groups for other things as well out there. And if it is something, whether it's caregiving, Alzheimer's, any of these subject matters, reach out to the ADRC, find out if there is a support group. If there isn't one, maybe it's a good chance to create one. For something that is a need that we just don't see. It's something that the ADRC does so well, is listening to their community, listening to the, whether they're in Wausau or here in Rapids, they really, you know, are listening. You just got to make sure that they hear you. You just got to tell them what's going on and everything so they can do these kind of things. It's important. And when did you say that they meet again, Casey?
So this specific support group that the ADRC started within the last year that we've been running now meets the fourth Monday of each month. And so that is from 10:30 a.m. to noon. But James, like you said, there are many different other support groups that are locally, that are virtually over the computer now. That's something that we are seeing a lot more of, which is really convenient for caregivers, because sometimes you can't leave the house and, you know, but you're still able to attend a support group. So if you are looking for something more specific, give us a call and we can let you know if that specific support group is around. The more general support group as a caregiver could be the one that we had just talked about, that on the fourth Monday of each month.
We're speaking with Casey Nemeth, Caregiving Support Coordinator with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. And Casey, I always like to spend some time talking volunteering with you guys at the ADRC. Before we get into that, though, if you don't mind, I'm curious, when it comes to listening to the community and trying to help and do whatever you can over there, are you guys currently like looking at different events you can do, or different types of support systems, or things that you can do to help out? I don't need details maybe necessarily, but definitely there are things in the works, or you're definitely looking at different stuff.
Yeah, we are always listening for you know, what is needed in the community. Resources are only as great as what is needed. So if there is something that you need, let us know and we can find you resources, we can find you information, we can start support groups, we can do anything that can help our community, because that is what we're here for. We're just here to make sure that you have the information that you need to be successful as possible.
And I touched on this earlier, Casey, and I say it a little tongue-in-cheek, but there's some truth behind it. We know our fellow Midwesterners. We know how we can be. I got this. I can handle it. I don't need anybody's help. It's something that we admire in ourselves, and we appreciate them and everything. Mm-hmm. But we also understand that it takes a village, that right. Nobody gets through this life without a hand. Everybody needs help from time to time. And so to our seniors, to our people out there listening that may be in that situation, please do reach out. Please do ask for a hand. You've earned this. Right. Look at this no differently than Social Security. You paid into that. That's your money. You don't have to feel guilty. Nobody should feel guilty about collecting Social Security. You paid for this your whole life, your whole working career. You should feel good about it. It's the same thing with the services at the ADRC or any other of these kind of things that are out there. I don't even want to know. I can't even imagine, the amount of people out there that could use a hand with this or that particular thing. And we just don't know because they're not reaching out. Right. You take that first step and the ADRC will meet you halfway. That's all you got to do. Just reach out a little bit, and we'll meet you halfway on this one.
Right. Yep. We can be as involved or not as involved as you wish and as you want. But like you said, without making that initial first step of reaching out, we can't help you at all because we don't know that you need it. So, I mean, just even making a phone call just to ask a few questions, that is a huge first step.
Yeah, don't let pride get in the way of these things. One of the strongest things you can do in life is push through pride. And just ask for a hand if you need it. And you'll be, I think, very pleasantly surprised, not only at the assistance you might get, but the independence you still have. I think that part is key, too, because one thing that I learned through the ADRC is the need of that mm-hmm. dignity, respect is so important. I think we get that in life for ourselves. I don't think we think about it oftentimes with others. And it's so important with this particular clientele that we keep that intact.
Absolutely. Yep. You said it great. It's we want to make sure that we are helping you keep your independence and just give you the information that you need to help you with the situation that you're in. And like we said, you can be as involved or not as involved as you want. We are not pushy by any means. We're just there to help.
Yeah. Let's talk a little volunteering as we're wrapping up. And as every time you guys join us, I'm going to hit on Meals on Wheels and encourage people to do Meals on Wheels. I love this program. Let's explain to some that out there that may not know what Meals on Wheels is.
Yeah, so Meals on Wheels is a huge volunteer-based thing that we have at the ADRC. And what it is a warm meal delivered to a homebound adult in our community that are on different routes. And so the volunteering would be delivering that hot meal to someone so they can have a nutritious meal. And I know I have personally done this myself, and it is one of the most rewarding things that I think I've done. You may be the only contact that person has all day, and that, you know, that brief interaction just really, really is huge for them. And not to mention just the nutritious meal that they're receiving, because again, that might be their only nutritious meal for the day, because they might not be able to prepare themselves anything. So we really look, volunteers are the heart of this, and we just really look for volunteers, even if you just want to give it a try once a month, or maybe if you're a little more ambitious and you want to do it once a week, we're willing to take anything that you're able to offer.
You know, it's not only the meal, but oftentimes maybe one of the only real conversations these clients will get. Mm-hmm. And that is really important, too. And I would like to think that most of us would want somebody to do that for us. Paying it forward is kind of good karma and one of those ways those things happen.
Right.
But I also I don't get to touch on this nearly enough, and especially when we're talking about volunteering. This is fun. This is a great feeling. Casey's telling you, I've told you before in the past, these are some conversations and some people you will go the rest of your life never forgetting.
Right.
Like, there's so many stories and so many wonderful people out there that you walk past almost every day or throughout your lives and you never know any of the backstory of. And this is an opportunity to find out some of that. And it's amazing history you hear. It's amazing stories. There are no boring people out there. All of these individuals are interesting and have something to share, and they want to talk to you. It's a fun, open conversation.
Right.
Yeah, you're getting them a meal. Yeah, it's important to check in on them. And that's another vital layer to this program. But it's also really fun. I never want to skate past that. This is a really enjoyable situation. Casey and I are couldn't be more genuine telling you how much we remember and enjoy doing this.
Right. Yep. Like you said, I mean, it's you walk away, and if you don't have a smile on your face, then, you know.
That's on you. Yeah. That is definitely a you thing.
Yep.
And then when it comes down to the breaking this down and stuff, okay, so I'm intrigued. I would like to do this, but, oh, Casey, I don't know if I have the time. I work two jobs. I'm doing this, that. You guys will work with that, though.
Right. Yeah, we are willing to work, you know, and you know, we talk about the Meals on Wheels program because that is a huge volunteer-based program that we have. But we are also open to other volunteer opportunities as well, you know, whether it be your work organization. Maybe you're looking for kind of a team-building opportunity. Reach out to us, and we have many different things that can just kind of help boost morale and just, you know, give back. So we are just so thankful of our volunteers, and we're willing to work with you, whatever you're able to provide.
Yeah, it's there's other opportunities to volunteer. Meals on Wheels, I think, is one of the better ones to do. And I almost said easier, only in the sense of you guys make it hard for us not to volunteer because you work with the schedule. I only got an hour a day free. Well, you'll work with that hour. Well, I can't travel too far out of my neighborhood. You'll work around that. Central Wisconsin, Wisconsin Rapids in general, has a high senior population. We throw a rock, you probably got a senior in your neighborhood. So, yeah. You know, you don't have to travel too far to drop these meals off either. And in that respect, you get to know your neighbors a little bit more, which is something that we kind of got away from in society. We just don't do that nearly as much anymore. That part of this is nice as well. There's so many different layers to doing something like this. Cannot encourage you enough to reach out to the gang at the ADRC and be a volunteer for Meals on Wheels. And there are other volunteer opportunities, and there's plenty of them. You can reach out to the ADRC to find out about. Before we go too far from the eating, though, the eating services that you guys offer over there, there is a Cafe 60. Can we touch on that for a second? I don't think we've gotten to very often.
Sure. Yep. So Cafe 60 are designated cafes that are open to providing meals. So this would be looking at more people that are not homebound but are interested in that nutritious meal. And so there are, like I said, various cafes throughout each community, the four county region that we serve, that participate in this program. So our website does have more information on that. Or again, you can give us a call at any time, and staff are able to kind of talk you through what those cafes are, when they meet, what they look like, any information that you're looking for.
I love this idea, and I remember my nana, my grandmother, looking for things to get her out of the house, you know, just looking for little events like this, little things, and then so she friends of hers got a sewing group together, and they started doing that, and half the time she'd come back and they didn't sew anything, but it got her out of the house, and she got to do some and see some friends, make some new friends and all that. Even something as simple as that is a good reason to go ahead and take a part in this.
Right. Yep. Just so social interaction is just so huge. I mean, we all need it every day, you know, and that can just go so far. So like you said, you know, they never really knit anything, but it was just the social interaction that they had that is just so important in people's lives.
And there is, are you guys still have in dining over there at the ADRC?
Correct. Yes. Yep. At the Centralia Center, there is in-person dining as well. So again, if that is something that you're interested in, you can stop on over. They do have a menu that you can take a look at, or, like I said, you can give the ADRC a call and they can provide you that information. That information is also in our Choices magazine as well. So lots of different places to see that information. But just great opportunities to meet people, see people that you maybe haven't for a while, and just have that daily interaction.
All right, so let's go over this again. To all of our seniors out there, if you need help, please reach out. We're here for you. To all you caregivers out there, if you need help, please reach out. We're here for you. We've sent a lot of people your way, Casey, so I imagine your phones are going to be pretty busy, and you're probably going to have a lot of messages waiting for you when you get back to the office today. But
right.
Understandable, and it, all the more reason why we appreciate you and the team over there, the Aging and Disability Resource Center. Thanks so much for the time, Casey.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they reach you?
Yeah, you can just give us a call at 1-888-486-9545. Or if you're more interested in just looking online first, you can reach out to our website at www.adrc-cw.org.
Always a good conversation. Thanks again, Casey.
Thank you.
We'll take a break and we'll come back and have some more conversation right here during Midday Magazine on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you're planning to hunt for wild turkeys this spring, you need to submit your application to the DNR before midnight on December 10th. Turkey harvest authorizations are issued through a preference-based drawing system. The drawing takes place in late January, and successful applicants are notified by mail. The youth hunt takes place April 13th and 14th, and hunting periods A through F continue from April 17th through May 28th. The preliminary 2023 gun deer season harvest totals are in. In the central forested zone, over 3,500 antlered deer and more than 2,700 antlerless were harvested. This is down 3.6% and 2.1% respectively for the five-year average. The central farmland zone saw the most deer harvested, with over 44,000 antlered, down 5.2%, and well over 53,000 antlerless, down 14.7% for the five-year average. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 24 tonight, under mainly clear skies, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy, tomorrow 37. Tomorrow night, lows around 18. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this November 29th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here, and we are welcoming into the studio some of our favorite people. We've got Superintendent of the Wisconsin Rapids Public School Systems, Craig Braun, with us. Craig, good afternoon.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
It is not fair how good this man looks. Every time he walks into the studio, I feel underdressed.
It's the haircut.
It's the haircut. It goes a long way.
It goes a long way, does it?
And Craig, you brought in a friend. We have a principal of Grant Elementary School, Nikki Calto, with us. Nikki, thanks for being here.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Maybe one of the more important questions I ask, did I get your last name right?
You did.
Yes.
You did.
That's all right.
Yes.
That's right.
It's E-U-X at the end, but yes, Calto.
I really appreciate you being here. And we've had such a great time. Craig brings in so many of our local principals, and we get a chance to talk about these schools that we don't always get a chance to talk to and have in with us and ask these questions and find out what's going on with the kids. How's it going over at Grant? So, Nikki, let's talk a little Grant. How are things over there?
Grant Elementary is a wonderful school. Mm. Love being there every single day. We just have a wonderful community, and we are out in Kellner, so just across the Portage County line. So we are in Portage County, but it is a great little school that we have many students, kindergarten or 4K through fifth grade, and so many unique little features of Grant Elementary. So one example would be our school forest. I would like to highlight that today, and highlight the work of Mr. Joe Wondalik, who has worked at Grant for many years as a teacher and is retired, but he has since taken our school forest and created an amazing space for our students to work and play in. And he's created a discovery zone out in our school forest where our students are able to go and make music and swing and play tetherball. And he's always adding different features, and he just goes ahead and makes those changes. And the kids absolutely love that space.
Does he teach adults? I'm just asking, just curious. No, it sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like something I would like to do.
Right?
Like, sounds like a great time.
Yes,
that's
the kids
cool.
love going out there and seeing what has been added to the area. And we utilize the space in many different ways too. There's three different trails that the kids can go along. We do snowshoeing in the winter, and it's just a unique feature to Grant Elementary.
And those are open to the community.
Yes.
I mean, not during the school day, of course, but you know, evenings and weekends. They're certainly open for community use. They're also adjacent to the Kellner ball fields, where RISA has their softball fields out there, and some of that infrastructure. So another excellent opportunity highlighting, you know, community partnerships. So all that is school district property, but with the intent that it's used by community partners and community individuals. And so it's awesome. And then the other piece that I'm guessing we'll talk a little bit about, but we did discuss, I don't remember how many weeks ago or months ago, but about this, you know, $4+ million playground upgrades. Well, so there's going to be some pretty comprehensive things that happen over at Grant Elementary as well, which is going to be super cool, not only for the Grant Elementary kids, but keep in mind, I just said that there's nature trails over there and a school forest, but there's also the Kellner ball fields. And guess what? That's on weekends and evenings and things like that during the summer. And so the use of those facilities in and around Grant School are only going to increase over the next, let's say, 12 months.
Great information. That's really really interesting to hear. One of the things, Nikki, you use the word unique, and it's such a perfect word for this conversation. And really, when we're talking about our Rapids Public Schools, we've gotten a firsthand kind of look at this when Craig brings in different principals. And we know these schools, we pass them when we're going to work, or some of us have attended some of them. But we don't, it's been, especially the older we get, we don't see the uniqueness of them. Each one of these schools has something to offer and something different that they do that maybe other grade schools don't. You highlighted some of the Grant ones there with the forest in the back. Is that something that you continue to do at Grant, is look at ways to take advantage of the area, take advantage of things that Grant has that maybe other, you know, grade schools don't have?
Right, absolutely. And that's something that we've looked at, is how can we reach beyond the walls of Grant Elementary? And one of the ways that we have kind of implemented a new thing for our students has been through our Kindness Ninjas. Now, Kindness Ninjas is a fun name, but it's something that our kiddos that we're able to create a club, and we worked with the Cool to Be Kind club at Lincoln High School, and we really wanted to mimic a lot of the things that the Cool to Be Kind club at Lincoln was doing, and have it happen at Grant at a younger age and make an impact beyond the Grant community. And so last school year, we spent we ended up doing a fundraiser for the United Way, and they were able to fundraise to create fleece blankets for those in need. And so many, many different projects that our fourth graders were able to reach beyond the walls of Grant. And that, I think, has been also a unique feature of Grant Elementary in the last few years that we've really established. And the kids are currently working on different projects. We just had World Kindness Day, and they had many different ways that they were reaching within our school building and building our school culture, too. So it's always fun to see what ideas they come up with, and it is completely student-driven ideas, and that just helps with their own ownership of the club.
You know, if my kid is interested in baseball, I get him in the T-ball at a young age before I start throwing fastballs at him. You know, we ease our kids into these things as they grow and get older. It makes sense to have this with Be Kind to Be Cool program at Lincoln, having a younger program to get them kind of get them the ball rolling a little bit, get it in the brains, get them used to this kind of stuff. That's a very smart idea. It's a very cool way to do this and a way to spread kindness in our community.
Right. And it's very powerful. They take so much pride in the work that they've done, and they remember these projects for well beyond the fourth grade year that they are in the club.
A question for both of you, and it kind of dawns on me the more I was listening to some other interviews that Craig and I had done, and was just kind of going over some homework for this interview. And one of the things that I feel like, and I don't know if this is the case or not, but it came to me, it seems like at least in our area, we're listening to our kids. Like, we're doing that more than we've ever done. Like, it's not uncommon to hear Nikki or any principal come in and say, well, this is a student-driven thing or a student-driven program. And I'm not saying that hasn't always existed. We've had that around in schools forever. But it feels like now, in this day and age, we are doing that more than we've ever done. Is that the case? Do you guys see that as well? Nikki, I'll start with you.
I believe so. And I believe that it's really working on those soft skills for them to become a collaborative community member and reaching beyond to what the academics are saying in the classroom. Of course, that is our focus, but also building the capacity within themselves as people in the world, and how do they see themselves as a contributing citizen.
Yeah. So. Correct?
Yeah. Well, so the answer to your question is 100% yes. I think one of the market differences would be that it's more intentional now. We've always done that, right? So the easiest thing to point to that I think of are things like student council, right? And in some cases, there's even student councils that are developed in elementary schools, middle schools, high schools. And that's always been couched even back in the 80s and so forth when I was in school of, oh, well, this is a student-led organization. Yeah. It's student council. But frankly, in my school career, I don't recollect anything that student council enacted that was really from the students. You know, it was more of a symbolic sort of a thing.
Yeah.
So now, when I say it's more intentional, it's more intentional in terms of soliciting that engagement with kids, like legitimately listening to what they have to say and implementing those things, but then also teaching aspects of kindness, of engagement, of what it means to be a member, a contributing member of society, that are much more intentional than they ever were. And we can talk about why we think that is, societally speaking, right? But it's very clear that kids, well, I'm going to just say human beings are losing those skills.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, go to the grocery store, go to Walmart, and just the number of interactions you have that are negative versus positive are sometimes 50-50, which is shocking. I mean, back not too long ago, it was, you know, 1% of the time would be a negative interaction. And so understanding what the context we're operating in and then being intentional about what our expectations are for kids and teaching explicitly those things is a marked difference than what we had done in the past.
I think, too, you know, kids have always been very good about no filter. Like, you have funny hair. Like, don't say that. Don't, you know, what do you, and my kids have done that my whole life, embarrassed me like that or whatever. But one of the things that I've also noticed, too, to me at least, it seems, is that kids are more empowered to speak up, to talk, which has literally no downside. Like, there is no downside to that. As a child of abuse, I will say that I felt comfortable talking to my parents because I could talk to my parents about anything. They always wanted to know. They always asked me questions. And I had questions, as crazy as they might be, they would answer them or at least hear me out or whatever. In a day and age where this is something that we still deal with as a society when it comes to abuse and those things, it is so vital that kids believe that they have people they can talk to, that they can trust. God willing, they don't ever are never in that situation. But if they are, we want to be able to be there for them as adults. It's our job. It's not just Craig and Nikki's job or anything like that. Every adult out there listening, it is on you to be able to be there for a child if they are in need. And that's just with something on the extreme end of things. There are other areas of this, too, where it feels like kids are more open to speaking up. And it's on us as adults to empower that, I think. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you, it seems like something that you've taken on as well, Nikki?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that we do every single morning is a morning meeting with our students. And there are specific pieces of the morning meeting that help the student transition from home to school, but also gets them ready for the school day and creates a classroom community that they feel safe and connected and that they have a sense of belonging in our building. And I think that is something that has evolved throughout the years from when I was in school to now. It just our focus on building that classroom community and having a voice and having an appropriate voice and where to use your voice and what to say and how to work on those skills specifically. That is something that we do in our morning meetings and build relationships among students and from student to staff and just continue to support them in that way.
Where and how to use your voice. That's beautiful. Yeah. That is an angle of this I hadn't really thought of, but that is a really impactful way to reach kids, especially at this age. This is how we counter the current way society has gone with the misinformation and some of these things. I don't know that you really can handle much with our age ranges, but the younger generations, so there's still a lot of hope there. There's still a lot of, not saying that there isn't any for our groups or anything like that, but the kids, what I think about when any of these kind of things, you know, bog me down or seem too much, I think of kids and I think of the younger generations, and I begin to feel more hopeful about this stuff because they're not only are they more engaged than ever, but you look at the last political cycle and everything. You've got 20-year-olds running for office. You've got people like all over, and it's only happening more and more where younger people. There was an age where, or there was a time where, I'll care about politics when I'm in my late 20s or 30s or something like that. Some people would think it's not the case anymore. Like, kids nowadays are in their, you know, barely teenagers, and they know more about politics than I do sometimes and things. Like, it's a different age with that. And it seems as though our public school systems are embracing that, encouraging that. We're getting more stronger thinkers, better workers from this. It's kind of cool to see, but I'm not in the industry. You guys see this from a great point of view. Is that something that you're seeing in these kids as well?
Yeah, so that's an excellent question. There's no doubt that there's more Well, even at an elementary school, I'm kind of shocked to say this, but I like I said, I graduated high school in 1992, which frankly is a long time ago by some standards, but not a super long time ago.
No.
Okay, it wasn't like 1950,
right?
But I didn't once talk about politics in a school setting, aside from my social studies course, classes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nor did I in college. I mean, my focus was science, so maybe that's why, but... it just wasn't a thing. Like, I mean, I voted every time that I could since I was 18. I informed myself of political matters, you know what I'm saying, to the degree that you can.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like it is now. And so, absolutely, there's elementary kids that talk about the presidential election. Mm-hmm. And 10 years ago, or I guess 5 years ago, that kind of stuff didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, absolutely. But I'll be quite clear. That's with the caveat that, you know, we're supposed to, as a public school, be everything to all people.
Right.
Right? And so there's no ideology in what we're talking about, regardless of what you want somebody to tell you. Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're involved in public education, so you're clearly a liberal. That's not the case.
No, we
employ 800 people.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done a survey, but I'm pretty confident that our demographic of employees is very similar to Wood County.
Yes.
And so if you think about that, it's probably a 60-40 or 55-45 sort of county. And that's likely what our staff represent. They might lean one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea that we're going to utilize that to our quote-unquote advantage is laughable at best. But it's something we absolutely need to address.
Yeah.
Because if we have a student saying something in an elementary classroom or any classroom about politics, political candidate, ideology, certain ideals that are either incorrect or not super informed, it's on us to ensure that the balance is out there, right?
Yeah.
That there is some intervention and not to this, you know, weird indoctrination sort of level, which arguably, and this is an excellent segue, so I'm glad we got onto the topic. Because if our staff members were able to indoctrinate kids into voting in a certain manner or in a certain ideology or turning them transgendered or whatever this argument is, why wouldn't we start with coming to school, just kind of behaving yourself and maybe wearing deodorant once in a while?
Right.
Why wouldn't those be the things? And that's tongue-in-cheek,
such
James, but
point.
My God, I mean, use your brain.
Yeah.
Our people don't care about the political ideology with kids. They care about kids, and they care about kids doing what they're supposed to be doing because they want them to be part of a functional society. So, yeah, it's much, much different than it is now.
Yeah.
But it's also more of the same because that's our role as a public school in particular.
The job hasn't changed necessarily.
No, believe what you believe, but here's how we're going to do it in this environment because we have to be cognizant of the fact that we serve everybody, not just this small group of people that agree with 100% of what you're saying.
Well said. Well said. Nikki, was there anything that we didn't get a chance to touch on about Grant that you wanted to make sure we mention?
Yeah, I would say that recently we had something called Playworks come out to our building, and I just wanted to highlight that piece of it, as our students have talked about it at home, I'm sure, and we have our coach coming back to us to run through some things, but it's a different way of thinking about recess. And one of the pieces that I absolutely loved about Playworks was we implemented something called a tag zone. And in that tag zone, it is a space that is merely marked out by paint on the grass, and it is an area where students are able to go to no matter what. They don't have to feel the pressure of, do I need to go and ask to play? Do I need to, what do I say to join this game? If they are in the tag zone, they are playing the tag game of the day. And everyone is allowed to play that. It is their choice as to whether or not they want to play the tag game, but it is a space that everyone is welcome. And that has been a game changer at recess for us. And the kids absolutely love the concept of having the tag zone. They know that it's there. They don't have to play it at, you know, lunch recess, but maybe their next recess they can. You know, it's their choice. So it's a different way of looking at recess and helping students feel like they can find something positive to do outside.
Yeah.
This speaks to that intentionality, James, that I was mentioning before. So something as simple as that, like organizing games or getting kids down the right path so that it is appropriate, that it doesn't devolve into fighting or screaming at each other. You know, because that's what happens when you don't have proper parameters in place, but not, you know, to the extent where it's like helicopter and the adult is running the thing. Because tag with adults sucks.
Let's face it,
adults are slow and lazy. You know what I'm saying?
You come over here and I'll tag you.
So it's that's a perfect description of something that's quite simple, recess, but providing intentionality and enough structure or framework around it, scaffolding, that it's more effective than just go outside and play and don't kill each other.
Right, right. You were touching on something the previous question about teachers and what I think there's so many people out there that do not have any understanding of what it is to be a teacher, to be a principal or anything like that. And I encourage those, especially if you are on the side of things, of you have questions or you're questioning this and this and this about the education system, whatever, reach out. Ask some questions and maybe even spend a day in the life of one of these people and these individuals. Where do you think they have the time to do these other things that you're saying they're doing or converting people or doing this or this or this? There's no time for that. I teach actors. I teach comedians and divas and people like that, and I ain't got the time for it. I can't imagine what it's like doing your guys' jobs. Hopefully it would give you some perspective and some empathy and understanding that this is a task that nobody does to be the next Rockefeller. Nobody gets into education because you want to be rich or you want to create the next new cool invention or something. You do this because you're passionate. You care about kids. You care about education. And right there from the gate, you have my respect and empathy. I would think that most people out there listening would be there. Ask questions. Reach out. Find out a little bit more about a day in the life.
And we need subs.
Yes,
we're looking for employees. Mm-hmm. So, if these are things that you have some interest in, and certainly you just want to give it a shot, absolutely reach out. We'd love to make that happen.
We got about 5 minutes left, Craig. What kind of headlines are going on in the area as far in the district?
Oh, fantastic. So we are nearing the end of the first trimester, which typically, depending upon when, we're beholden to state statute around the start of school.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, they called it the Tommy Bartlett Law.
That's right.
So that means we can't start until after September 1st.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, with the way September 1st landed this year, it was like a Friday, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, we're not going to go to school one day. And so then you do the holiday weekend and then start. But what that means then is that shifts then the days that you have, because typically we like to wrap up try one right before Thanksgiving break. Well, we're talking to you right after Thanksgiving, and we're just wrapping it up, I think, this Thursday. Friday's an in-service day for staff, and there's no students in the building. So that's why we're transitioning a bit later this year. And then we move into second trimester, which for secondary kids means some different coursework and so forth, some changes in that regard. And also it is the mark of new sports season. So the winter sports season is well underway, hockey, swimming, basketball, wrestling, and so forth and so on. So that's huge. I would also mention that I'm sure many of your listeners recognize and remember Coach Louis Bennett's. He clearly, I still don't know the exact number, but coached for over 40 years. Many, many years here in Wisconsin Rapids.
I think 14 state titles, I think.
It's unbelievable.
It was like something like that. It's insane.
Or 17. Insane.
Yeah, 17. 17 I'm underplaying. Yeah, 17. It was 17 of them, yeah.
And to not overstate what this guy did for the community and for the program and for the number of athletes that came through his program. And clearly, it's not without issue. And I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat these things. But on the same hand, Louis was a phenomenal human being, and what he accomplished, I don't believe will ever be touched again. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's a shame the things that did happen. In the community, it was hard on the district, hard on the program, and very, very hard on the community. I think we've moved past that, but we also still need to recognize the massive impact that Louis Bennett's had on the kids that were in the program and the community, because it's unmatched. And like I said, I don't think it'll happen again. 17, I think, and that I think is the number. It might even be higher than that.
Yeah.
But 17 team state titles in wrestling is unbelievable. I mean, It's just unbelievable. There's no other way to describe it.
One of the biggest challenges facing human beings, especially kids going forward, is being able to, you know, you're meeting your heroes now. You're learning more and more about individuals and people than we ever have. And there are no perfect people out there. None of us are perfect, outside of maybe my mother. Everybody else, not sure about them. Everybody judging, you know, it's like this with artists all the time. We hear about an artist. There's a great artist. We like their songs, but we may not like them that much as a person, you know, and engaging that. And how can you separate the two? Can you chew gum and walk at the same time? It's something that we're going to have to learn to do more and more as a society, local or, you know, nationwide. I think we can do that more if we do that with an open heart and an open mind.
Absolutely. And I would just quick mention, too, that Scott Bennett's, his son, still is working for Lincoln High School and coaches wrestling, as well as Leslie Bennett's is a teacher at Grand. Who is an in-law. She's married to Shane, which is another one of Louis' kids. And our condolences, of course, to Joyce, Louis' wife, as well as the kids and all of the family and grandkids, because I know Louis had a massive, massive impact on his grandkids, rightly so. And so our sincerest condolences and sympathies to the family.
We are certainly in holiday season, so we encourage everybody out there to keep an eye out for the kids. Understand that there are days off coming up, so the kids might be bopping around in town when you don't normal times and stuff, so keep a lookout, be watching out for them, and certainly reach out to the team here, whether at Grant or Craig, when it comes to volunteer opportunities or different ways that you can help with our public schools. And Nikki, if people had follow-up questions, they wanted to know more, talk with you a little bit about Grant, how can they do that? How can they reach you?
Sure, they can absolutely call the school office, or they are more than welcome to send me an email, and you can find my email information on the Grant Elementary website.
Excellent. Thank you. And really nice to meet you. Thanks a lot for being in today.
Thank you.
Craig, same question. How can they get a hold of you?
Yep. 424-6700 is the district's general number, and that'll direct you via, you know, digital directory to basically any extension, and then all my contact information is on the school website as well.
Thank you both for everything you do for our communities, you put into our communities. We appreciate you. Have a great holiday.
Thanks, James.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The morning show on WFHR, it's different.
That's when all of a sudden, if you notice every other Batman costume, the cowl is not attached to the suit anymore.
Right.
And Batman can actually do this amazing thing where he turns his head. The Joker's masterful plan of going to the left. Serpentine! Quick penguin, serpentine!
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. only on locally grown radio.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say it, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship, right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power, our veterans.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees, but we can protect them from 6 types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. The Israeli military says Hamas has begun releasing more hostages in exchange for Palestinian